We're going to talk today about prayer. Now, prayer is kind of like recycling or eating right. Everyone agrees we should. Most of us truly want to. And we talk about doing it. We say we'll do it. But in the end, we're just glad if we can remember to take that recycling bin out to the curb every other week or not order extra cheese on our pizza. We do pray. There's no doubt about it. We pray before meals. We pray at church. We pray when we put our kids to bed. We definitely pray when things go wrong or get tough. When the phone call comes in the middle of the night, when the boss warns you that your job is up for grabs, when the doctor says it doesn't look good, those are all reasons that we stop and pray. Almost all of us pray fervently, repeatedly, hopefully, if not desperately. Our intentions are good, but if we stop and really think about prayer, we probably will admit that our overall approach isn't serving us, isn't serving God, and isn't serving even those around us very well. We know that Jesus had a great habit of prayer. No surprise there. We read throughout the Gospels that Jesus took time to pray. We read that he took time to pray early in the morning while it was still dark. He left the house, it says in Mark 1, went off to a solitary place and prayed. In Mark 6, we read that he went up on a mountainside to pray. And Luke tells us that he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Later, he even talks about Jesus going up a mountain again to pray. Clearly, this was important to Jesus. We read accounts like that. We read those verses and we think, man, that looks good. I'd love for that to be more true for me. Well, apparently, Jesus' disciples felt the same way. In Luke chapter 11, we read, starting in verse 1, that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Hear those words. Man, teach us to pray. That is the cry of our hearts when we think about this subject of prayer. We want to learn. We see that Jesus knows all about prayer, naturally. And this disciple, we don't even know who, says to him after a time of prayer, "Lord, I want to do that too. Could you teach us all how to pray, to express, to hear and be heard, to connect with God?" Sometimes I've wondered if we look at prayer, or maybe that I look at prayer from the wrong angle. Is prayer a discipline? Yeah, absolutely. But if we only see prayer as a discipline, we're selling ourselves short. It had better be more than that. How about a desire? A desire to connect. Maybe seeing from a new angle would tell us that we don't have to pray, we get to pray. That it's not just a duty, it's a delight. Because, as we say so often, this whole thing is not a religion. It is a relationship born from love. And if that's true, then prayer should be something that's motivated by love and wrapped with love. So here we have the disciples asking, "Teach us how to pray." It's worth learning about. There's all kinds of stuff in life that's worth learning. We don't even think twice about wanting to learn more about how to make money or how to be more attractive. There are things that would love to teach us all about stuff like that, or how to please our mate, or improve our golf swing, or develop new hobbies, or learn interesting philosophies. There's all kinds of stuff to learn that we find worthwhile. But I'm here to say there are a few things more worthwhile to learn about than how to pray to our God. See, we have a lot of drives and desires. We're created with them. And our most primal and foundational drive is to connect beyond ourselves, to find meaning. And we know that means to know God. So when the disciples come to Jesus and say to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," they are asking something very, very special, because we need God. If you're watching right now, listening to the sound of my voice, and you're not so sure if you really need God, I hope you'll pause and reflect that you really do. We all do. He made you. He knows you. He loves you. And we need Him. We need to hear from Him. We need to speak to Him. We need to do life with Him. We need Him. So how do we pray to Him? Well, there are three things Jesus teaches in our passage today. They're all foundational to our understanding of prayer as we tackle this over the next few weeks. The first thing Jesus teaches us is that prayer should be done simply. In Matthew 6, we read Matthew's account of Jesus teaching what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this. Jesus begins with this advice. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, he says. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Man, what a powerful idea that we can just simply do life with our Father God who knows and loves us. And then He begins to teach them about prayer by giving them this model prayer. He says in verse 9, "This then is how you should pray." He begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed would mean to something is hallowed when it's set aside as holy, it's revered, it's singular, it's one and only. Hallowed be your name. In these words, we declare to God, "You are my holy Father." Jesus says here at the very beginning of His model prayer that when we come to Him to pray, we are to say, "Father." We can use that word. We're allowed to address the Creator of the universe as Father. That single word sums up the entire basic relationship of the Christian faith. We can call God our Father. Jesus says so. He goes on, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This reminds us that our prayers to God should be humble, that we pray simply and we pray humbly. Not my will, God, but your will be done. I'm reminded of something Jesus says also in this same chapter. In fact, just a little bit later, He gives this advice, speaking of humility. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you," He said, "they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to," there it is again, "your Father, who's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with praying in front of other people or with other people, for sure. But that's not the point, right? We know that. The point is always to be open, have open hearts before our holy, loving Father God. Don't babble, He says, like the pagans, and don't preen and posture like the hypocrites, Jesus says. They're missing the point. You have something so wonderful, so amazing, He says, available to you, talking to God about anything at any time, just the two of you. Don't underestimate that. It's a beautiful, powerful thing. So in this portion of the model prayer, we are saying to God, "I trust your will. Your will be done. We want your kingdom to arrive in our lives. Not my will." These four simple words, "your will be done," are far from easy to say sometimes. It boils down to trust. Even right now, today, each of us has brought to this moment burdens that weigh us down, problems that confuse us, decisions that we can't seem to make. We turn these over to our Father because He really does know best. And we can say to Him, "I trust your will. You've got this. You're with me." Jesus' model prayer goes on. He teaches us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." This teaches us that we aren't only to pray simply and humbly, but continually, even daily, our daily bread. It's a request that we make. See, you can have, catch this, you can have a prayer life comparable to whoever we might think of as the greatest of saints if we'll just do this. Seek God in every situation. Invite His counsel into every decision. Thank Him for every blessing. Turn to Him in each sorrow and share with Him every burden. You do that. I do that on a day-to-day basis. Just inviting Him into the moments of my life, and we will have a vibrant, rich life of prayer. See, if you're struggling with something, tell God. If you're being tempted, don't hide it. Tell Him. If you're defeated, or at least feeling defeated, say so. If you're feeling shallow or distracted, tell Him. If you're feeling lonely or discouraged, talk to Him about it. There's nothing off limits in our conversation with God. You can't surprise Him. He won't be shocked, and He won't shame you no matter what you have to say. He's always ready to listen. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus teaches about prayer to His disciples, and He tells a story about a guy who has a guest come to his home late at night. And this guy realizes he has no bread to feed his guest, which was a big deal in their culture. And so he gets up, goes to his next door neighbor, knocks on the neighbor's door, and says, "I need some bread." The neighbor isn't so psyched about this. He says, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you," he says. That's his answer. But the guy won't give up. Keeps knocking, keeps asking. Eventually, you know what happens. The neighbor's going to get up, and he does. And he gives the guy what he needs. And then this is what Jesus says. "And so I tell you, keep on asking. You'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking. You'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened." In other words, my Father God is not like this reluctant neighbor. My Father God is ready. He doesn't have to go to sleep. He was not all tucked in and comfortable. He will hear your request as soon as you make it. And so don't have any trouble asking. Don't have any trouble knocking. Don't have any trouble seeking. Go for it. He'd love to hear from you. "For everyone," Jesus says, "who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open." That is a beautiful thing about our faith. Jesus drives the point home with a couple more sentences here. Check them out. He says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people," that's us, right? "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" See, all that seeking, all that asking, all that knocking, those requests, those prayers, we want more of God. We're going to our Father because we want to connect with Him. We want to do life with Him. And Jesus says He'll be right there, happy to give more and more of Himself, His Holy Spirit, to us. So we can ask with that kind of confidence. So in this passage, this portion of the model prayer, we're praying, "Lord, You know all things, and You know what I need. Sustain me today." Whether it be bread, or strength, or encouragement, or wisdom, or rest, or laughter, or time with someone we love, or meaningful work to do, "God, provide to me today what You know I need." That's the simplicity and the beauty of that portion of the prayer. Jesus goes on in verse 12 now, "And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." I receive Your grace, God, and I want to give it. Jesus brings up the topic that we all probably spend a lot of time avoiding, and that is forgiveness. It's what we most desperately need to receive, and really what we also desperately need to give. No petition in this model prayer can be more challenging than this one, but it's one we must breathe in and breathe out. Forgive me, God, help me to forgive. Forgive me and help me to forgive. Jesus goes on in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here we are praying, God, guard me and guide me. Father, guard me, protect me against the temptations that assault my soul, against evil and the evil one that can distract me, desensitize me, destroy me. God, guide me. Guide me in your way. Guide me onto the right and healthy path. Strengthen me to keep choosing it so I can stay on it. Lead me so that I avoid temptation and rescue me from all that is evil. Now, some manuscripts of the Gospels include this portion of the model prayer, which we Christians have been praying for centuries, and it's certainly a powerful way to end this prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here we are praying to our Father, be my God always. I believe these words remind us, in the end, it's not how we say it, but to whom we pray it that's going to matter most. And it makes all the difference. See, when we pray, we are realigning our hearts and our minds to God in His kingdom. Every time we pray, we are turning away from so much, even for a moment, so we can turn to Him. When we pray, we tap into His power. When we pray, we bring Him glory. When we pray, we magnify His name. An author that I really appreciate wrote a book that I would recommend called The Jesus Creed. Scott McKnight says in that book that at the bottom, prayer is simple. It is loving communication with God. All we need for prayer is an open heart. I couldn't say that better myself. Praying is simple. Praying should be done humbly, and we can pray constantly. You know, this model prayer that we've started to look at today, and we'll spend the next few weeks moving through part by part with even more depth. Just 66 words in English. 56 in the original Greek. This is a prayer that we can internalize. This is the prayer that Jesus gave when His disciples asked, please teach us how to pray. See, our words need not be many or fancy, but they ought to be prayed simply and humbly and continually. So it's my hope and prayer that as we move through this series and embrace these truths, you and I will pray more. We'll turn to God more frequently. We'll trust Him more fully. But talking about prayer is no substitute for actually praying. So, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are our Holy Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we trust your will. Give us today our daily bread. Sustain us. You know what we need. Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we've also forgiven our debtors. We receive your grace and want to give it. Lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from the evil one. Guard and guide us, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Be our God always. In Jesus' name, amen.